like to turn your attention to Psalms 135 and verse number 13. If we could keep the screen down. Brother Savadik, thank you. Amen. Psalms 135 and 13. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. And then if you turn to Exodus, the 17th chapter. I generally don't preach themes such as Memorial Day or Mother's Day or those sort of things, but I felt yesterday I was praying here and God just showed me how important it was to have memorials in our life. Exodus 17, starting in verse number 9, it says, "And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Amalek is a type and shadow of the flesh. Anybody have any trouble raising their hands this morning? You got a flesh problem. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it. Would you say rehearse?
Rehearse.
Rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. If you've been in the church for 2 months or 45 years, you'll have war every day with the flesh. But if you can somehow get those digits up, you can defeat this flesh. Lord, we ask your blessing, your anointing upon the word. It's precious. There isn't anything on this earth that is more valuable than the word that you sent from another world. We ask your blessing upon it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 14 said, write this for a memorial or a record in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Here Israel is doing battle against the army of Amalek. Amalek is the Bible telling us that we're going to have war against the flesh. And the vivid illustration here is that when they held up the hands of the man of God, they prevailed against the enemy of the flesh. I fear for those who don't want to respect the authority in the church. Because when they get to that place, you know, the umbrella is gone, and, their battle is much greater. But when they didn't hold up the hands of the man of God, the flesh prevailed, because this illustration was so significant. The Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it, tell it over and over and over again. Part of my job as a pastor is saying the same things over and over and over again. We have to rehearse it. God's going to do it. God's going to be there. God's going to promise. It's a formula to win every battle. It was at this point God called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, or God is my banner. We also have a banner that we hold up every service as a memorial before God. And that is our hands in worship. Keep the hands up and we will prevail in the fight with the flesh and every other thing that we have to deal against all of the time. Hold up the banner. Amen. Jehovah Nissi. There are a lot of banners waving this weekend. Lots of flags that come out. The American flag as a memorial of our freedom. We talked about it already this morning. And remembrance of those soldiers fallen in battle. Today, most people see Memorial Day as a three-day getaway, you know? It's a barbecue. It's a big sale at Polo this weekend. Freedom from work and the beginning of summer and time to plant and enjoy the next 3 or 4 months. It's said that Memorial Day had its beginning at the end of the Civil War in 1867 by a organized group of women decorating graves of fallen soldiers, singing the hymn, "Kneel Where Our Loved Ones Are Sleeping." So it had its beginning way, way back in the history of our country. The first Memorial Day was officially proclaimed and observed on May 30th, 1868. It was to honor our fallen soldiers of all wars. And there are many flags that are out. I remember going to many Memorial Day parades. It just doesn't seem like it's the thing that we do anymore because there is so much against war, so much against the military these days. Like, we can just have peace without some kind of resistance. But over the years, this memorial to those who have died for our freedom has diminished, and the meaning is about different things rather than honoring our loved ones who protected this country. Yet God has established memorials in His Word to remember the battles that we fought for our freedom. And each and every one of us have had to fight a battle in order to get to the place where we could stand in the house of God this morning and raise our hands and worship God. Over the years, I've seen a lack of patriotism in our country. And if people don't have a love for this country, they will not have a love for God, because the two are one. If we do things because of what is convenient or what is best for us, we then won't stand up for those things that are wrong. A former president once said, "If the next president will just declare that our country will never go to war again unless we are directly attacked, we will have a great nation again." There's a man who has never served in the army. There's a man who has never had to have a confrontation. What he is saying is, who cares if the dictators somewhere else commit genocide against his people? We won't be put in harm's way. Just let it happen. And when you get to that place where we've got our freedom, who cares about anybody else? Oh, it's going to cost us too much in order to allow someone else to be free. The church can get to the place where we're not patriotic anymore. We got our salvation. I'm not going to war with somebody else in order to set them free. I have a number of cufflinks that have the presidential seal on them. I think it's beautiful, but it's meaningful as well. In the presidential seal, the eagle holds in one claw a olive branch signifying peace, but in the other claw of the eagle is held several arrows. It depicts where the United States is. Peace is what we strive for, but we make sure that we have plenty of arrows. Over the years, I've had a lot of people get angry with me. I remember one lady who came up to me and poked me in the chest like this and said, "You know what your problem is?" And I've always wanted to know what my problem was. She said, "If you really believe this, why aren't you more demonstrative? Why don't you get out there and talk to everyone? Why don't you grab them?" But people have been angry with me because I wouldn't bend the truth of God's principles, as others have, in favor of their convenience or what they thought would benefit them, not knowing what the scriptures say. I suspect that there'll be more people who will be angry with me down the road because I'm not going to change from this. You know, I strive for peace, but not peace at any cost. Hallelujah. And you know, something that has paralyzed a lot of us is that we don't want to have any conflict. I remember the conflict in my life when somebody came to me with this truth, and I gave other people a hard time because of what I needed to do. Oh, unless I am personally attacked, I just won't declare war on sin. What if somebody in our congregation is attacked and that happens on a regular basis? Listen, I am willing to go to war for any one of you as long as you're going to live for the principles of God. I'm not going to go to war if you decide you're not going to live for God at all. But those who will live for God, just give me a call. Just tell me what to do. Tell me where to go. I'll be there for you. I'll lift up your hands, anyone here that needs it to get the victory over the enemy. But will you be an Aaron? Will you be a Hur? Will you respect the authority and lift the hands of those who are in authority? God said, let this be a memorial in the book. I like what Aaron and Hur did. Write it down. Rehearse it. Joshua, you're going to have a few more battles. Tell them. We're all in the same army. We all need to lift each other's hands. It's not a matter of, well, did you hear what happened? Well, why don't you go over there and lift their hands? Would you turn to Joshua, the 4th chapter, please? Joshua chapter 4, verse number 4. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. So these weren't pebbles. These were big stones. Put it on your shoulder. Let's struggle with it. Get in the middle of the Jordan, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask your father in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And then verse 21, and he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in the time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over. And as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all of the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. that all of the people of the earth, you know what? God sets memorials in the church that all the people in your community, in your family, in your city, in your state, we all have small compartments in our brains. Some have smaller than others that are very valuable. It contains all of the events that have taken place in your life. Now, I know that we don't always want to remember everything that's happened to us when we try to put it out of our mind, but we are the lump sum of everything that has happened to us. I've said that over the years, but it's so significant because if you hadn't gone through some things in your life, you wouldn't have the same value you have in your life. There are some of you who have had back pain that's just been unbearable. I went to see Brother Rozecki after his surgery this week, and he's doing so well. But the empathy that I had for him is because of my own pain in my back. And some of you can relate to others who are going through some things, but it makes us who we are. Perhaps that is why God allows certain things to take place in our lives, so we can become the person he wants us to be. Like it or not, we do benefit from every experience that we have in life. All things do. Because we want his purpose in our life. So we are what we have been exposed to, some good things and some things that, well, really have been disappointing, really have hurt us. Paul said in Philippians 3 and 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So Paul is saying there are some things I'd like to put them out of my mind. But God doesn't give us that ability to put those things out of our mind because they are a memorial of the things that we have overcome, the victories that we have. Peter said in 1 Peter 2 and 5, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house." And so it's the accumulation of all of those situations in everybody's life that build the church the way God wants it to be built. Strong church. Could I submit to you that we are walking memorial stones, if you will, to the rest of the world, bearing witness to the world that the old man is dead, and now all of a sudden there's a new man walking in my shoes. He don't do the things he used to do. And there has been a new beginning, and we are walking memorials of that brand new beginning. If they never open the Bible, they see the Word of God walking before them, and we mark a new beginning that they also can have. But there are some things I just won't let go. God's memorials in my life, how limited our lives would be without our memory, because if we would take all of the bad things out, well, then all of the good things would be out as well. For the last several years of my father's life, he suffered with Alzheimer's, and he couldn't remember what we talked about the day before, so he repeated over and over again, and most of the wonderful events that happened in his life, he didn't remember. It caused him to be frightened. And after dealing with that, I realized how important our memory really is. The fact of the matter is I'd rather be physically incapable than mentally incapable. God knows that our memory tends to fade with time, so reminders are helpful to retain the important things in our lives. And that's why everyone should have an iPhone. Your wife's birthday is tomorrow, you know? They become also places of comfort and reminders of good. grave markers serve as reminders of lives now ended but never forgotten. If you drive the roads of Mexico, you'll see crosses everywhere along the road because they insist we're not going to forget the person who died here. It's important. The origin of placing memorials was established in the Old Testament. Jacob set up a stone as a memorial at Bethel, where he had a vision of God's angels ascending and descending. Bethel means house of God. So this church is a memorial to us and to the world of God's presence and what God does. It also says this: the issue was settled, the battle is won, the price was paid. Here is where I was set free. Memorials are silent testimonies that this person or event will never, ever be forgotten. What do the stones in the book of Joshua mean? It was a memorial to all of the people that Israel was set free. Free from bondage, free from wandering, free to claim all of the promises of God. The stones silently declared truth. We silently declare truth as we walk through this world to everyone. We do wear a uniform, folks. We do. We dress different than everybody else. Our hair is different. Our speech is different. Our actions, our capacity to have love for other people is different, and the world understands it. And the miracle was not to be forgotten of what God did in our life. Those yet to be born could view this pile of stones, and now that God has done something great for that generation, but God is able to do something great for this generation. And if we don't keep rehearsing it before our children and rehearsing it from this pulpit and declaring it, God did this for Brother Ozeki. God this did for Brother Fitch. God did this for each and every one of us. We might forget how great God is. These kids preached it this morning. A limitless God. Would you turn to Acts, the 4th chapter? Acts chapter 4, starting in verse number 10. Be it known unto you all, and to all of the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Okay, the lame man now is able to walk and leap and jump. Here's a memorial, folks, to our God. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the stone. So Jesus is that stone. He is the memorial, if you will. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You can't be saved without a name. Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. Verse number 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, the memorial, if you will, in whom all of the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So the combination of everything that we have gone through, every victory that is in this place. You know, we could have a 400 people walk in here filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, and you will not have a church yet. because there aren't any victories. You haven't gone to war as yet. You don't have any memorial stones that we could say, hey, that's right there. Right there is where God touched me. Hallelujah. The stones were not man-made, nor are our memorials man-made. The monument was not carved, polished, or even very attractive. It was just a mound of stones of various shapes and sizes. That's us. Not polished, not carved. Various stones piled together into this building of different sizes and shapes, piled together for a crude memorial. It was God's design. Future generations would pass by and ask the question, why are those stones piled in this water? When people drive by this church, there's got to be a question in your mind. What goes on? This church has grown faster. We've had three building programs here where there are some churches who have stayed in the same small building over and over again, and they have to ask, what's going on? I've had neighbors say, what happens there? What would cause you to go there three times a week? What or more? The story could be told of the deliverance of Egypt and the fulfillment of God's promise to his people. Each of us have had the same miraculous crossing of the water. Couldn't do it on our own. A time when we left sin onto a new life with God. God parted the waters for us, and we were baptized in Jesus' name and had our sins washed away. We no longer are wandering aimlessly, having no purpose in our life. We are able to claim the promises of God that only others read about. It's not just a book report. It's something that happens in the church as a memorial. And our baptism is our greatest memorial where we started our new life. But we are so prone to forget what God did for us. Could we fail to speak because we're afraid of boring somebody with what we know is so common? Could we fail to talk to somebody thinking they're not really interested in the memorial of my life? How we were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in another language that we never had learned. Are there people that we know that have never heard our testimony? How God completely changed my life, a life that didn't want to change, but we had to change. He put a new heart and a new spirit within me and caused me to walk in his statutes. And when people get to the place where they no longer want to walk according to the principles of God, there needs to be a refreshing of the Spirit of God, maybe even a heart transplant to say, hey, get a hold of yourself. What used to be important should still be important to you. They see the memorial in our life, how our life has completely changed. That wasn't him before. That wasn't her before. What about your healing? Is it a fresh memorial for others to see and to hear about? You have a bad problem. You've got a kidney problem. You've got a cancer problem. Let me tell you about this stone within our church. Let me show you. Let me bring you to that place. Are there people who haven't seen us for years and they see the change in our life and ask the question, what is the meaning of these stones in the river? This church is a pile of stones in the middle of Caledonia. The warning to the church at Ephesus in Revelation, the second chapter, was about the loss of their first love. It's not about, what am I going to get if I go to church? It's not about, I have to do that because the pastor said. Now, if you want to use that for this weekend, you do that. My pastor said I can't show up without a relative. You know? Glory to God. You know, pile it on me, that's fine. But keeping in love with God can be enhanced by establishing memorials in our life over and over. In the Bible days, people wouldn't say, praise the Lord. They would say, what has God done for you? Now, what if somebody asked you that? What has God done for you? What have you seen in Scripture? Has God talked to you? Have you seen a vision? Have you seen something that God has done in miraculous within? Did you wake up and all of a sudden you're feeling better than you did before? So like the 12 stones, some could be physical memorials. Others could be spiritual memorials. Some years ago, I went to a Lutheran church all my childhood days. And about 15 years ago, they tore that church down. And in the process of tearing that church down, they had fences around it. And I felt, I need to get back into that church one more time. And I remember going past the barricade. Don't tell anybody this, please. And I crawled through a window just to take one more look at the place that I walked in as a child. I grabbed one of the bricks of that church and I brought it home just so I could remember that beginning. As a six-year-old, I was at the front pew. I've told this church many times. I was so in love with God, and they had a statue of Jesus, full size, standing on the world. And as I looked at it one service, God actually came off of the world and came towards me in a vision. And I thought, I hope I'm not going crazy. I never told anybody about that, thinking they might think I was crazy, but I'll never forget that. It's a memorial of how real God became in my life on that particular day. It was a foundation of where I am today. I remember the exact place where I received the Holy Ghost. I remember the color of the carpeting, the place at the altar I was at, the people that were around me, the sounds and the feelings that I had when God rushed into me and I heard words that I had never heard before come out of my mouth. Maybe it was a place where you first felt the presence of God. That car ride the next morning going down to work and feeling the presence of God, or the car that you were in when God spared your life from an accident, or the hospital room where God healed your body. Amen. I still remember the vision of Brother Fitch dead, laying in the hallway of his apartment before God brought him back to life. I will never forget it. It's a memorial of what that God is doing in my life and in this church. Or the place where God placed a special call on your life. It scared you, but you remember, you're on holy ground. I remember the day that my wife and I, at 6 o'clock in the morning, were standing at an altar in our little church in Sturtevant, and God said, stop, turn around, look at these walls. These walls will not contain the people that I'm going to bring here. Unless we put memorial markers in place, experiences tend to fade away. And reality becomes tarnished. And you're wondering, is it the same God that he was years ago? Sometimes when things get a little rough, I take a trip to see the 12 stones again. I visit a memorial in my life to refresh the feeling all over again, revive the experience, regain my confidence in God, because if he did it back 12 years ago, he can do it again today. And after a while of sitting by the water, remembering about what God did, I feel so much better about my future and what God will do for me. I'll tell you one thing. If God has promised you something, never, ever doubt it, because God will perform what he said he's going to perform. God gave Israel a great victory over the Philistines after they turned back to God. Some people think, well, you know what, I haven't been living for God like I should have, and that all bets are off. Nothing else is going to happen great in my life. But God has demonstrated over and over again, hey, David, messed up bad. David, a man after God's own heart. And so what God has said, even if you haven't been the person that I've wanted you to be, if you'll come back to me, you're going to establish new memorials in your life. 1 Samuel 7 and 12 says this, Samuel took a stone and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, here too hath the Lord helped us. Ebenezer means a stone of help. Do you have an Ebenezer in your life where God has helped you, made possible what we thought was absolutely impossible? Our children need to see the memorial that God has built in each and every one of our lives. And I can hardly get to the baptismal these days. If I open that curtain, there is a plethora of little kids who storm the altar and get the best place for the view because they want to see. They want to see the stones in the water. They want to see a life changed. They want to see what God can do in that individual's life, church. So let's rehearse it and rehearse it and tell them about what God is doing in our lives. The memories of your mind tell with frequency to them when God supplied the thing that you lacked. The check came in the mail. Somebody in the church said, here, I don't know, God just impressed me to give this to you. And you know beyond a doubt, it was exactly the same amount that you needed, and it's a memorial. Gave you clear guidance when you didn't know which way to go. And if you don't know which way to go, you don't go anywhere. When he brought comfort with his spirit, when no one else could comfort you, no one else could help you, but you felt the arms of God wrap around you. Tell him how your life was spared from danger. I don't know how I'm alive today. Healed from sickness, delivered from drugs. It wasn't a 12-step program. It was just a few steps getting to an altar.
Jesus,
they've got to see them memorials in our life. They have to rehearse them over and over again. Oh, this is a different generation. We don't do things the way you old folks did. Yes, you do if you want to have the same experience that we had. These stones represent that God helped us, and God is going to help you as well. They mean that we called on God, and you can call on God. They mean that God never changes. Erecting a memorial was the first thing they did after crossing the river. What it said to everyone, present and future. We can't make it without our God. We have too many people who feel so independent that they can do this on their own. When we should be falling on our faces every day and say, God, I can't go another day without you. These stones mean that we not live in the past, but we profit from the experience with God for our future. I am not ashamed of my memorials. People wouldn't push over a grave marker, and don't push over my memorials. Don't say, well, that's your opinion. No, no. You weren't there. You didn't have the pain that God took away. You don't understand the grief that I had, and all of a sudden I had comfort. You don't understand what God did for me when I didn't have a job. You don't understand when my marriage was falling apart and God put it back together. So don't push over my stones. They mean everything to me. Even the hard times. I want to remember, I said at the beginning of this service that the angel said to Cornelius, thy prayer or worship and thine alms or giving has come up as a memorial before me. And now, and every time we walk into this place, we're building new memorials before God. Somebody who hasn't raised their hand before, someone who didn't understand the value of tithing now says, okay, God, I don't understand it. You know, I'm living from day to day. But when you do that, God's saying, we're building another memorial. Hallelujah. Church, we're a pile of stones. But God's pleased with every situation that we have gone through with him for our benefit. Would you stand with me, please? We have room for no more stones in here. As I said earlier, please don't leave this place without putting a name on a piece of paper and put it in this basket. And then I'm asking you, would you get to the place where you'll stand in the gap and plead for a soul, and next Sunday on Pentecost, not every church can celebrate Pentecost Sunday, but we can. We can. That this place would be full. The altar's open. Would you come?